Every day I get up and I say this. I say I can handle it. I look in the mirror. True story. I say I can handle anything that happens on this day. I say I can handle anything that happened on this day. I choose to rise above negativity and hypocrisy and the gravity that would try to pull me down. The Lord will favor me. The Lord will fight for me. I win on this day. Every day I get up, I say that. I speak that to myself, right? I can handle whatever come my way. Why? Because God is for me. God is for you. Whatever happens, you can handle it. Say, I can handle it. You can handle whatever come your way. And you got to speak it over your own self. Most of the time, ain't nobody going to speak over you. You don't speak, and you ain't going to get no message out there. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit. You can have your seat. I heard what everybody said. Awesome. I appreciate it. A lot of key words kept coming up. And kind of was letting me know that I was in. I wanted to do something, give you some prophetic theme. That ain't what we got this year. I mean, what you got? We still going to speak a lot of faith around here. But that ain't really what we got tonight, amen. And this, I'm going to lead into it. This ain't it either, but go to Isaiah 43. I want to talk to you a few minutes about leaving 2025 in 2025. So I'm going to leave 2025 in a few minutes in 2025. You gotta separate from some things. Hey, you know what, my sweet sister? You were married for 45 years. My parents was married almost a few months short of 50 years when my mom transitioned. And my dad remarried a few years after my mom passed. He remarried. And I don't think in the beginning, I don't think my siblings really embraced it, to be honest, because of my mom. And he married this lady, my stepmom. She's still alive. My father has since transitioned. But I had to share with them, she extended his life. She extended his life. Because he had been with my mom so long that all her kids are grown. He's retired, and you have to have purpose and things like that to go on in your life. And I ain't saying you finna get married, but I'm saying that's what happened to him. But what the Lord was saying to you in 2026, because I could still hear the sadness in your heart. But he gonna turn the mourning into a dance. You'll get your dance back. You'll get your dance back in 2026, and it's okay. That's not abandoning him. That's not disrespecting his life, but God gonna give you your dance back. He gonna give you your movement, your fire back, and it's okay, all right? And I just know he's you a few hours, a few seconds away from the healing to begin. And the Lord say, receive it all. Amen. In Jesus' name. But in Isaiah 43, he talks about, he says, don't remember the former things. And then he goes on to say, behold, almost like he gonna catch you off surprise. I'm doing a new thing. Tell somebody, God gonna do a new thing. If you let him leave 2025 in 2025. So because you can't move forward by dragging yesterday with you. A lot of times we want to drag yesterday with us. And yesterday, even sometimes yesterday was good, but yesterday can be a burden for where you're trying to go in your future. So tell somebody, sometimes you got to cut sling. You just got to let it go. Because the past is a terrible place to live, but it's a powerful place to learn. You can learn from your past, but depending on, especially if it was painful or hurtful, you don't want to live there. Tell somebody, you don't want to live there. You don't want to build no new house in pain and agony and defeat. But you can learn some valuable lessons from the past. Say, have you learned anything from your life? So God ain't trying to repair some of our past. He's trying to launch us into your future. And you got to be willing to embrace the launch. You got to be, and the launch, sometimes you just stationary, be still and know that I'm God. Sometimes it's just like that rocket. They pull it up and they hook it up and they wait sometime weeks before it's actually launched. But some of you, your life is getting ready to take off to a different place in God. And you can't be holding on to stuff that you should be letting go. He's trying to bring some of us into some freedom, some power. And then he's going to bring some of us some supernatural acceleration, because at the end of this year, he was telling us that some of us, he's going to try to catch you up. Now, I'm going to give you some things here in a minute that if you pay attention, it'll work for you. Tell three people, it's going to work for you anyway. Right? He's trying to bring us into a different place. Some of you, though, you got to forgive. You got to forgive right now. You got to forgive. You can't go into 2026 with a lot of mess in your heart, because it'll mess up what God is trying to do. Because let me tell you something, unforgiveness is very hard to carry. It'll become a weight in your life. It'll slow you down. And it can also take you out the will of God, because it can become too much for you. And God don't want us to be in that place where you're carrying heavy stuff. Shout, I'm going to let it go. Whatever burden it was, God say, let it go. Say, I'm going to let it go. Sometimes you don't want to. Sometimes you got a reason. You got a right. What do you got to do? You still got to let it go. You got to release some stuff. You got to allow God. You got to ask God to help me to let it go. That's why he says in Hebrews, he said, Deacon Strange, or somebody talked about, lay aside every weight, every sin that easily ensnares you or traps you. Now, I wanted to lay it aside. I'm trying not to go someplace too quick. You can get trapped by not letting stuff go. You can get ensnared. It ain't a sin. Everything that God tell you to let go ain't a sin. It's just something that'll weigh you down. This year, for me, from natural standpoints, incredible. The reality is, Sister Samaji, money, I can't remember the last time I've asked God for anything. Thing. Most of the time, it's stuff for you or the church. I ain't never been consumed with things. Just God. And, you know, when you start talking about doing this type of work or responding to a calling like this, if you can't put the people needs before yours, you almost disqualified. Because you have to trust that God will do what he said he gonna do for you. And you can't think about you. You got to think about other people. And so for me, I can't remember the last time, but it was, you get to a point to where you start longing for, you ever wanted something and you didn't really know what you wanted? Personally, you don't really know what you want. You don't know what you need. And you start looking for sometimes comfortability, ease, relaxation. And what the Lord reminded me of, the minute that you start longing and embracing comfort, watch this, you will lose your cutting edge. You will lose the thing that makes you, have made you, and making you. And sometimes you don't have time to pause. You got to keep going when you don't want to go. You got to go sick. You got to go hurting. You got to go by yourself. You still tell somebody you still got to go. And part of that is that you have to shake off and leave stuff behind you. You got to get rid of, tell somebody old expectations got to go. If it ain't happened already, sometimes you got to let the old expectation go so God can give you something new. You have to let old disappointments go. Everybody been let down. Everybody been disappointment. You can't keep licking your wounds as you go into 2026. Tell somebody, say, you got to let it go. Old identities. People have called you things. You've called yourself things. You thought you was things only for God to show you that you wasn't that, but that you was this. So you got to get your old identities out. Whoever you thought you was, you got to let it go so you can embrace who you really are in God. And you don't have to measure yourself up against some other man or some woman, because they can never beat you at being you in God anyway. So tell somebody, say, why don't you just be yourself? It's interesting. People always want me to change. I'm not stupid. I know where my oil is at. This a word church. So if you come in looking for what your old church or your old pastor, you got to go back there. You get taught the word around here because you held responsible not only by preachers, but by heaven, by what you know, not what you. You got to let go of old assignments sometimes. Do you know that there are sometimes in your life, your assignment that God gave you expired? Why? He's doing a new thing. He'll give you another assignment. Sometimes we don't fulfill it in that season and it'll expire. Meat expires. Canned food expires. I mean, you can have stuff that you put on your body. It can expire. They throw it out. Sometimes we don't meet the need or the qualification or responded to it. But how many know God always got something new for you? Respond to the new call. He giving some of you a fresh word. I told somebody, some prophet last night called me looking for a word. I said, what God is doing is that he's giving a freshness back to the body where people can stop copying people and stop trying to be like somebody else. He's giving a freshness back to the body. You can look at me crazy all you want to. He gonna get, and if you expire, you're going to move to the back. He gonna put something fresh out there. Because the people are getting sick off of stale bread and rotten meat. They're getting sick of it and they're getting sick on it. And that's why they can't grow and develop. Say, get rid of the old. God giving you the new. So what does that mean for us going forward as we look at it? One, you got to surrender in 2026. Some of you not surrendered. Do you know, I stood right here one Sunday. I was about to tell somebody that God had called them. Really, their frustration in the spirit is because they wasn't doing what God told them to do. They was really called here to be an intercessor for me and cover me. And as I got ready to tell them, God said, don't tell them. Don't tell them. They was called to do a specific task. They wanted to do something else. God said, don't tell them. Now, why is that important about it? They didn't respond to the initial thing he told them to do. It's not about always about what I tell you. It's about what God told you to do. You respond to that before it expires, and then you got to get something different. But and why would they do it? Because they're not surrendered. It's going to go into our theme for this year. If you will learn to surrender, God will do so many things. Somebody said, I think I preached that. You got to respond to God with a yes. You have to respond with a yes. Do he ever ask you to do something that you don't like? What are you supposed to do? Say, yes, Lord. He ever tell you to go someplace you don't want to go? Look this way, please. He ever tell you to go someplace you don't want to go? What are you supposed to say? Yes, Lord. He ever told you to apologize to somebody and you still didn't like them? Yeah. What are you supposed to do? Yes, Lord. Every no pulls you further away from him in your life. Every time you say no. Okay, so how do you know? You know, this is where people are making their mistake. I'm not nobody's boss. I'm his messenger. When you say no to the messenger, you're saying no to the message that he sent to you. Now, how does that cost the body? It costs the body in a whole bunch of ways, right? So say, I surrender all, God. Because God can do more with your surrenderance than you can do with your strategy. See, a lot of us got strategies in our mind about how we're going to pull stuff out, but you ain't surrendered yet. And your strategy is never going to work until you surrender all. Say, I surrender all. You can plan it. You can type it. You can have 50 other people look over it. They can anoint you with oil. You can drink the whole bottle. It's never going to work because you're not surrendered to God. Your strategy is never going to work. If you will give it to God, God will do it for you. He wants to do it for you. For some of you, he is going to do it. Why? Because God is in control. Why do we not want to yield to God? Because we fear. We're in fear. A lot of time, our control is disguised in fear. We don't want to lose control. I'm not in control. Everybody know you the one running your life. Shout, I surrender all. Everybody can look at it and tell you in charge of that. No way it would look like that if God was in control. Say, I'm going to give God a yes in 2026. Shout, I'm going to give God a yes in 2026. You could have say, yes, Lord. So God cannot feel what you won't empty. You won't empty yourself. You won't small up yourself. If you'll empty yourself, God will fill you, but you won't empty yourself. You like being in charge. But if you'll let God do it, say, God will do the incredible. As you surrender your plans and your fears and your hopes and your dreams, God already got a timeline established for you. He's going to bring everything that he's purposed from your life from the beginning to fruition and say, it's going to be a short time. You ain't going to have to wait till you almost in the grave. It's going to be quick, too. This brings me to our theme this year. I had come across something, and I said, man, that'll preach right there, God. He said, and you're going to preach it. That's not your theme. That's not your theme. The theme this year gonna stretch some of you. Watch this. It's gonna grow some people. It's designed to grow everybody. But some, he got to pull you back some. He has to pull some of us back some. It's not designed for you. You ever seen all I can think of is like a dried out rubber band. You ever seen that? If you pull it, you can get some good distance on it, but it'll pop. The moisture of the spirit as you get pulled back is for you to collect things and to learn, look this way, please, and to learn stuff that you think you know, but you didn't learn in seasons. If you resist it, look this way, please, it's like dry rot. You'll pop off. But I'm telling you the God is true. He's going to pull some of us back, mother. Because we think we learn things that we didn't learn. And you need things that you're supposed to have in this season if you'll stay with the Spirit of God. The recall will shoot you further. If you resist it, you'll fall off. So the theme this year, 2026, is the year of the non-negotiables. I mean, there's some things that God ain't gonna negotiate this year. He's not gonna negotiate. Because we're in a place now to where things are getting kind of serious spiritually. You better pay attention to what I'm saying. I know you want to run and do some other stuff. But we in a place, some of us are not, we're in a place now to where things are getting serious for you. And it's getting serious for the body of Christ. And a lot of things that we played with, you're not in a season where you can play right now. Amen. You're not in a season, Sister Baker, we ain't in no season where people can play right now. They can't rest right now. You can't be comfortable right now. So it's the year of non-negotiables, walking in purity, in prayer, to get the power. To get it. One of the things that God was pointing out that's really absent from the body, and I'll hit this again, is that, how do I say? Just because you can mimic spirit don't mean it's Holy Spirit. It's a lot of mimicking. Because you're not Big Mama. For our church, our younger people, look this way. God is saying to some of you tonight, you got to make a decision. If you want to go forward in power, or if you want youthfulness, do you want to experience power, or do you want to, please look this way, please, or do you want to experience your youthfulness? And you got to choose. Because you know what he's called you to do, but you still want to be young. You're using your youthfulness as an excuse to not go forward in the things that clearly God has already defined and outlined for you what you're supposed to do. But you want to be youthful. You want to dress youthful. You want to talk youthful. You want to act youthful. You want to play like you're youthful. But yet you've been exposed to spirit. You've been exposed to Holy Spirit. So you have to make a choice. He's not going to force it upon you. He's not even going to do anything negative to you. He's just going to find somebody to do what he called you to do. He's going to find somebody to do what he called you to do. And he is, what I was saying a second ago, as that happens, the assignment expires. And you won't just be able to jump back in it. You'll have to get another assignment. You'll have to get another assignment. Because somebody gonna do. Jonah, if Jonah don't respond to God. I mean, they used the belly of the whale like it was here, but he was not dead. If he don't agree with God, God going to use somebody else. He's going to give Jonah's assignment to somebody else because he's not going to let Nineveh suffer. And God not going to let IDF suffer if you don't. He's not going to let Colorado Springs suffer because you don't want to do it. He's going to give that assignment is going to expire. I mean, God going to release you from it. And he's going to give it to somebody else. And you got to make a choice, or you're going to use your youthfulness as an excuse not to go forward. And I can remember dreams. As a little boy, I can remember a dream he gave me, and I'm hiding. I'm like in a vineyard. So he's giving me a representation of the Spirit of God. I'm in a vineyard. I'm hiding from giants. For only him to say, stay hidden. One day you're going to kill them giants. One day you're going to be a giant. And here I am. Slaying giants. My assignment wasn't to fight then. It was to stay out of their way until I was at a place where you can do something about it. Some of you, you're at a place where you ain't supposed to be hiding no more. You're supposed to stand up and do something about what you can see that's happening in the realm of the spirit and stop relying on other people to do what clearly you know God has called you to do. You do your own work. I thought this was New Year's sermon. This is. He said he can't use people whose heart and their hearts, watch this, and their hearts' desires are competing with his mission still. Your desires are competing with his mission. And we have to make a choice in this season. What you going to do? Ask three people around you, what you going to do? Wait for them to answer. What you going to do? Don't let it expire. Ask them what you going to do. So there has to be three things. Purity. See, purity aligns your heart with God. That's why he gave me Matthew 5:8. None but the pure at heart see God. Do you know why churches ain't not seeing God move like they've heard people testify about in the past? Huh? Because they ain't pure. They're not pure. People are not pure. And for whatever reason, pastors don't know, messengers don't know, people don't know everything just because you back out here. So if it's not preached about, people think that they got away with it. And the more you get away with it, people just keep going with it because surely if God wanted me to stop a change, he would have told pastor. But that ain't always the case. He told you. He didn't tell me. Remember, because I told you, most of the things I take to God ain't about me. It's for the people. So purity aligns your heart with God. So we're going to be doing a lot of growth stuff that'll help people align their hearts with God. I've never seen people, you know, wicked is not evil. Wicked and evil are sisters, but they're not the same. If a person belongs to the devil, they evil. They live evil. L-I-V-E-E-V-I-L is to live backwards in accordance to the things of God. Same word. But a person that's wicked, you can be a believer and allow the devil to put your heart in knots. I've never seen as many people that are born again, but they got wickedness in them. They still are vindictive and they still are grudging harder and they'll still get you and they'll still pay you back and they'll still fight if necessary or not necessary because they won't deal with the twistedness in them. So we got to have a pure heart. I ain't got time to deal with it tonight, but I'll deal with it later. We got to amp up our personal prayer life. You're not going to get by with morning prayer alone. That's not to replace your time with God. You got to have your own time with God. How often? Daily. Because I wonder what our lives or the church would be like if we had real communion with God before warfare. Sometimes we don't have no connection with God until the devil is kicking the hell out of us. And then we want to have a prayer life. But I wonder how we would win, mother. You can be in warfare and be losing. because there was no communion before the warfare, where God would have told us what to do, what to say, what not to do, where to go, where not to go, what to buy, what not to buy, where to join the church, what not. See, because we don't talk to him until we in a fight. I've been in fights before. I've never been able to hold a conversation with anybody while I was in the fight. While I'm fighting for my life. But if you will talk to God before the fight, you will already know how to win the fight. This is a year where you're not supposed to lose consistently. You're supposed to win consistently. You're supposed to overcome consistently in this hour. You're going to be in some struggles. You're going to be in some fights, Samaji. You're not supposed to win. Why? I'm going to talk to God before the fight. Say that. I'm going to talk to God before the fight. Say that. I'm going to talk to God before the fight. You got to have a prayer life of your own. We live vicariously through preachers who may or may not have a prayer life. A mama who may or may not have a prayer life. They ain't got no prayer life because you always in their face 24/7. They can't intercede for you. They carrying you. So what? You got to align yourself. You got to be pure. I'm going to show you something that you think is innocent. Thinking of evil. Thinking evil against somebody. We think it's innocent. I didn't say it. I didn't do it. Yeah, but you thought it. There's a power. I was attracted to him. I didn't sleep with him. Yeah, but if you had an opportunity, you would have because you thought it. He said, if I think to do it in my heart, evil, I've done it. So what's the theme this year? What are we talking about this year? What are we going to be working on this year? We're going to be working on non-negotiables. Purity, prayer, and then the whole goal is get the power back. Watch this. You got about 3 minutes. This is what he had put in my heart. That we're looking at an age where there ain't no real pursuit to really be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Most churches don't even talk about it. The people don't even seek it. Do you know why, brother? Because when you really get baptized in the Holy Ghost, one of the things that you notice is I'm not in control no more. So they don't want that. They want to go to heaven. They only way. But they don't want it because they got to lose control. He started waking them up and started speaking to them, and they driving and he talking to them, and they can clearly hear him. He takes over their tongue sometimes. He make them say things that they don't want to say. He makes them minister to things. Why? Because they're baptized in the Holy Ghost now. And that's the thing that's missing. Everybody know it. People say, man, something missing. Go places. Something missing. Mm-hmm. How do they know? How do they know? They were exposed to it through some other place or through some other person. And they saying, I tasted this. I tasted what it was like one time. Something missing. So preachers blame the pews. And the pews blame the pulpit. But the reality is something missing. The Holy Ghost is missing. Can oil dry up? Please. You can't keep talking. See, reminiscing about what God used to do mean that you ain't currently moving with him. So all you can talk about is what he used to do. But he want to do something, not lately. He want to do something for, say, right now. God want to move right now. God need a move in the earth right now. This church need a move of God right now. This city needs a real move of God right now. And we can't necessarily worry about everything, but we sure can go after it right now. Anybody want that this year in your life? A couple people do. And I ain't using no leaders. And I'm not even opposed to firing them. And I would never let another person, mother, on my leadership team that don't have the evidence. Ever will I do that again. It costs too much. It costs the people too much, preacher. I would never do that again. As God is my witness. Matter of fact, he told me don't ever do it again. Why? Too much hang in the balance. People gonna win and lose based off of them three things. I dare somebody to just jump to your feet and just shout to the Lord, give the Lord praise, and just say, I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. I need it. This church gotta have it. The preacher's gotta have it. The minister's gotta have it. The deacon's gotta have it. The people in the pews gotta want it. I 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 want it, God. We need it in this place, God. We need it. We need it, God. We long after it. We're gonna go after it, God. We want to be reset. We want to be restored. If I've lost the assignment, God, give me a new assignment with fresh oil. Something that'll make a difference other than a shout or a key or a keyboard. Something different than that. And that's what these preachers are trying to do. They're trying to build their church on music that's absent of the Spirit of God. And people can run until they fall out like a dog, and they still gonna be empty and hurting and void. No, that's what we need. Tell somebody, and God ain't gonna negotiate with you this year. He ain't sending nobody to talk you down. If you wanna go, you go out there and you go back to the world. He's not going to send nobody to come looking for you this year. He's not negotiating with you this year. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, I'm telling you, he ain't going to do it this year. You separate, you pull back, you pop off because you don't want it. You're going to be out there by yourself. And the body can survive without a member, but a member cannot survive without the body. A tree can survive without a branch, but a branch cannot survive without a tree. We'll be just fine. But I'm telling you, this is going to be the year of change that you really want. You got money. Now what? You got the job. Now what? You got the degree. Now what? You got the house. Now what? You got the car. Now what? You got the baby. Now what? What is it that you want now? You should be longing for the Spirit of God. Not some fancy quote that rhymes with 2026. Tell somebody, non-negotiables. He ain't negotiating with you this year. It's New Year's. Amen. Give the Lord a good hand praise. This going to be an incredible year for you. This going to be your life-changing year for you. You thought it was money. Money can buy you a lot of things, but it can't buy you God. You got it already. Father, as we enter into this new year, as you separate us into this new year for this service, this work, development, God, pour out your Spirit upon your people in a way that they could never imagine. We thank you right now, God, for the protection. We thank you for the peace, God. We thank you for those getting their dance back, God. They getting their joy back, their spirits being encouraged. We thank you right now that the blessing of Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God would rest upon your people. We pray for total reversals and renewals in our hearts and our minds, God. Let this be an uncommon year for the people of God. Let them experience you, God, in uncommon ways, fruitful ways, God. Rebuke every devourer from over their lives. Anything that was in 2025 that brought them down, God, separate them from it in this hour. Let them know that you are an ever-present help in the time of need. Do what you promised you would do for your people, God. And Father God, we thank you for overflow. We thank you for addition to this body. We thank you right now, God, for just sprinkling the anointing, the fragrance of on your people in this year. And Father God, we give you all the praise, God. We give you thanks, God, for just keeping us another year. We thank you for just being in the land of the living one more day. How you've kept us and how you watched over us, God. How you made ways where there really was no way, but yet you came through, God, and pulled us through. We thank you for that, God. We don't take it for granted. And Father, we give you all praise. We give you glory and honor for it in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a good shout. And then run to about five people and just love up on them and tell them Happy New Year. Run to about five people, hug up on them. Tell them Happy New Year. Tell them Happy New Year. You made it. God kept you another year. Thank you, baby girl. Happy New Year to you. You made it another year. You made it. The devil told you he was going to kill you. Laugh in his face and tell him, I'm still made it. You was going to lose your mind. You didn't lose your mind. You made it. Told you was going to be divorced. You didn't get divorced. You made it. Everything he bluffed you with, you found out that it was a lie. That God was still going to be good to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You made it. You made it. You made it. And God is going to be incredibly good to you in 2026. God is going to be incredibly good to you in 2026. God is going to be incredibly good to you in 2026. We thank you, God. We bless you, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Bless your name, great God. Bless your name, great God. Listen, we're gonna release it from right here. You can stay, you can fellowship. I think they got chili and nachos and maybe some hot dogs and stuff out there, but may the Lord be shine up his face upon you. May he be gracious unto you. May he number you amongst the righteous and give you peace. May he bless your going out. May he bless this year for you. May he bless your family. May he bless your resources. May he bless your body. May he bless your mind. May he do incredible things to you and for you in this season. And Father God, we give you all thanks and glory, honor. We know that it's all about you. And we give you praise for it right now. Just seal it with a praise. Just seal it with one good shout. All over the place, just seal it with a good praise. God is going to be good to you. Why? Because we serve a good God. Amen. If you can make your way out there, I think Deacon and Avery is out.